Welcome to Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. I am so excited to have you listening in to me today, as this is my very first episode. However, of course, you probably know that I'm not new to the podcast world. You may or may not recognize my voice or my name, as many of you have followed me for the past 3 years on Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carl Fout. So today it's official. This is where you can continue to follow me, just me, right here on Lyme and Beyond with Tanya. This is silly because I may or may not be a little nervous, and I shouldn't be, but I think it's just kind of strange that I'm just sitting here having a chat with myself. But I wanted to do this solo episode just so that I can kind of tell you guys what this podcast is going to be all about and share a little bit of my own personal journey, a little bit about why I'm passionate about what I do. So I promise this is going to be the only episode where it's just me. Starting next Wednesday and every Wednesday, I'll be having some really great guests join me. Of course, as usual on my old podcast, I have some amazing Lyme conquerors sharing their journey, as well as some doctors to take a deeper dive into things. So as many of you know, Lyme just isn't about Lyme. It encompasses so many things. Co-infections, mold, parasites, candida, mast cell, chronic fatigue. Like truly, I could just go on and on. There are seriously so many things that fall under this so-called, what I like to call a Lyme umbrella. So that is kind of why I chose the new name for my podcast was to include and beyond, because it is kind of beyond Lyme and beyond, right? So I'm going to talk about all the stuff, just everything. And I'm super excited to get this all kicked off. So for those new listeners, I'm going to kind of give you an overview of my 13-year Lyme journey. It started back in 2004 when I was living in Northern California. And I got bit by a tick in my front yard. And I got a bullseye rash. Little did I know what exactly a bullseye rash meant. So I went about my life. And 4 years later, I started getting sick. And it started out with some elbow pain. And then it traveled throughout my body. And then I got fatigue. And so this healthy, very active person slowly started giving up things in her life that I enjoyed. I found myself not going to the gym every day in the morning because I was too tired. And then a few months later, I'm like, okay, my body feels like I've been through a boot camp class at the gym. Tanya, you haven't been to the gym in months. And I thought, okay, something's really going on with me. So that started my rabbit hole of going and visiting all of these doctors. And now knowing what it was all about, I got gaslit by these doctors for years. So they did many, many tests on me. I traveled all over. I went to specialists. I think one of the things I was told was, first of all, it was in my head. But then they said, we think you have fibromyalgia. And I thought, okay, great. Fantastic. Something is wrong with me. That's all I wanted to know. I'm not losing my mind. So I go to the library and I check out all these books on fibromyalgia. And I'm like, yeah, maybe, but I think people can kind of live normal lives with fibromyalgia. And the life I'm living right now is not normal. So I am finding myself coming home from work and crashing on the couch and not even eating dinner. I can't even keep my eyes awake. And I'm finding myself coming home from the grocery store to find my groceries in the car the next day. Because I forgot I went to the grocery store from the time I left the grocery store to the time I got home. And that got expensive really quickly. I worked at the same courthouse for 17 years. and I would drive right past the town that it was in and have no idea where I was going or no idea where I was at. So the more I'm kind of going down this fibromyalgia path, I'm like, no, this cannot be it. So then I get a diagnosis of mercury poisoning. I thought, okay, let me check this out. And actually, a lot of that kind of made sense, what was going on with me. So I searched out this clinic. It was actually a fibromyalgia clinic. I didn't know they existed. And the doctor treated me for fibromyalgia. And also, I chelated from mercury poisoning for a year and a half. And the doctor then told me that my mercury poisoning was gone. But I wasn't well. In fact, I was worse. I continued to get worse over the years. And I actually remember one day getting a phone call from my primary doctor. And the receptionist said, I see you on the schedule for tomorrow. And I just was calling to find out what exactly we're seeing you for. And I said, well, I'm in so much pain. Like, there's something wrong with me. I think I have bone cancer. Like, I don't know, but I need some help. And she actually said to me, we've seen you for that same exact thing many times. There's nothing we can do for you, and I'm canceling your appointment. How does that even happen? Like, I was so dumbfounded. I don't understand that. This is supposed to be my doctor that I trust with my life and my health, and they're basically turning me away. That was kind of when I decided that if I don't figure out what is wrong with me, like, no one's going to. But I think the final straw that happened was I was in court one day and the judge asked my name and who I represented. And I truly didn't know my name. And I thought, okay, I don't know what it is, but I know it's not in my head for sure. So I remember going home that night and I called my parents and I said, okay, this sounds crazy, but like I need to give up the life that I know and love or loved prior to getting sick. And I'm going to move back to my hometown to be closer to my family and lifelong friends because I can't do this alone, but apparently I'm going to have to do it on my own without the doctors or I'm going to die. And so that's exactly what I did. Thank goodness I did it when I did. And this was probably about 6.5 years in now. So all these tests and all these doctors was about a 6.5 year journey before I moved back home. And I actually ended up bedridden. I had a caregiver. And of course, I already told you I didn't know my name. And that is when I finally was able to get a Lyme diagnosis. And I got it because my pain doctor I had had for years, she told me multiple times that I think you have Lyme disease. And I said, well, no, the doctors tested me 3 times for it, even though I don't know what it is. I remember them testing me for it. And she was like, okay, but I still think you have it. And so at this point, I thought, well, I may as well search this out again, right? So she referred me to the doctor that she used, and I called them up, and it was going to be $5,000 to go see the doctor, and then another, I think it was like $1,200 or $1,500 to get a test done through Igenix. And I'm like, well, that's not feasible. I mean, I've already spent a ton of money up to this point. I'm not working. I have no income. And so I actually called Igenix. Now, for the listeners out there, I'm not necessarily recommending doing this because this was many years ago and I don't even know that they do this anymore. But back then, I was able to call Igenix and they sent me a lab slip to go down and the kit. I went down to the hospital. I had my blood drawn. I sent it into Igenix and I got the results sent to me. I don't know if you can still do that anymore or if you actually need a doctor's order to get an Igenix test. But there are two labs that I trust, and it's Igenix Labs in Palo Alto, California, and Armin Labs in Augsburg, Germany. Those are, there's some really good labs out there, but those truly are the only two that I trust. So once I got my diagnosis, I thought, okay, this is fantastic. Finally, it only took me 7 years to get my diagnosis. Little did I know that Lyme was not the best diagnosis to get, right? So it's not cut and dry at all. Obviously, by just the little bit that I've shared, the testing is not accurate is a huge problem. I was tested 3 times only to be told I didn't have it. And so I had to decide how I wanted to proceed. I did 2 consultations. I did a consultation with a very well-known Lyme literate doctor in the Bay Area in California. And I did a consult with an integrative doctor in another state. And everything would have been super easy peasy. A lot of insurance would have covered it if I would have chose to go with the Lyme literate doctor in the Bay Area. But he did mostly antibiotics. And at this point in my journey, I really lost so much faith and hope in the traditional medical community. Like, I feel like they truly left me for dead. And so I was looking at this integrative clinic in Reno, Nevada, and it was so expensive, and I had to pick up and temporarily move out of state. Like, it was just a lot, but that was the route I went. Like, something just led me that was the route I needed to go. And from that day forward, which was either the very end of April or the beginning of May. I remember this because it was super close to being May, being Lyme Disease Awareness Month. And this was in 2015. And so that's what I did. I packed up and I moved to Reno. And I started the treatment protocol. Lots of detoxing the first week. I can't honestly tell you a lot of the specifics that I did. But the big gist of it was I did hyperthermia. They elevated my body temperature up to 105, 106, and I literally would shake in convulsions. And I would do that for a few hours, and then I would start to bring down my body temperature. I'd use ice packs, Advil, get in the tub, whatever I needed to do to lower my body temperature. That was a process in itself. And then by the time that was done, I would eat a little dinner and I would go to bed. And I'd do it all over again the next day. Thank goodness for my mother. She moved down there with me from Oregon to be my caregiver because there's no way I could have done this alone. So I did these treatments. I remember at one point, I didn't want to do this anymore. It was just too hard. Every ounce of my body hurt when you're going through these hyperthermia treatments. Like, if you ever stubbed your toe, that toe hurts again during this treatment. It's the craziest thing. I got to where I was doing some magnesium IVs during this because it would help alleviate some of the pain. I remember the first time I did it, I needed oxygen. I started hyperventilating. It just was a tough journey. And there was one point in time when they started talking about, well, when you go home, you need to do these follow-up treatments and you need to give yourself a shot. And I thought, oh gosh, okay, I guess I'll be searching out a nurse to come over every day to give me a shot because there's no way I'm giving myself a shot, right? So then, well, we teach you, we're going to do this little class. So I remember the day that the class came and I thought, now this is going to sound silly, and I hope I'm not the only one who's ever thought this, but I thought that when people go through medical school and they learn how to like give somebody a shot, why do I think that they had an orange and they did the shot in the orange? I don't even know if this is a thing or if it's just something that randomly has popped into my head. And they didn't give me an orange, and I was very concerned because they immediately just wanted me to stick it in my arm, and I was petrified. I may or may not have had a tear or two in my eyes. But I did it, you know, and I ended up having to give myself about anywhere from 5 to 10 shots a day in the arm and then one shot in the butt. And the shot in the butt that we did, it was some type of a detox shot. And all I know is that it literally feels like you're being stung by about 100 bees at a time, and it lasts for about 5 minutes, and then you're dead. Very strange. But I did it. So I guess my point of that right there is that no matter where you are in your journey and what you think you can or can't do, I promise you, you have the strength and ability to do way more than you ever thought possible, because I did it. And I didn't think any of that was possible. So kind of fast forward, lots of treatment. I get done with this treatment center for six weeks and I go back home doing all these protocols, taking lots of herbal supplements, tinctures, lots of detox, lots of colonics, lots of coffee enemas, lymphatic treatments. I did a lot of ozone therapy, a lot of ozone sauna. Pretty much I feel like I was kind of throwing the kitchen sink at it, right? That's kind of what we do. And I was getting better. Like, it was a long road, but I was getting better and I was seeing improvement and I was having hope. And I was able to finally get approved for disability, which took me 3 years to get. And so I bought another home. You remember, I gave everything away and I bought another starting over home. And I'd been in this home for almost 2 years to the day. And I'd been in treatment for a few years. And I thought I was kind of at the tail end of my journey. Like, it's almost over. And the town I was living in burned to the ground. If you've ever watched the news, I'm sure you know where I'm talking about. It was kind of national news. I lived in a town called Paradise in California. It was just up the hill from Chico, which is my hometown. And the morning of the fire, I left my house in my pajamas with my dog and my purse. And we drove through the fire for 5 hours. I called my family. I said my goodbyes, because there was no way I was making it out alive. The trauma of that triggered my Lyme, and I was sick again. I was still sick, but now I'm sicker again. But I wasn't where I was when I first started, so I am grateful for that. So kind of fast forward, I ended up relocating to Boise, Idaho, never having been here before. Searched out a Lyme doctor here, which I was very uncertain of. I didn't know if I should go back to Reno, Nevada, but I didn't want to pick up and move again. I'm just trying to, you know, restart a life here in Idaho, and just so much was going on. So I searched out another integrative doctor here, and that is when I got introduced to muscle testing, which, let me tell you, is the best thing ever. So I had mentioned earlier that there are a couple of labs that I trust out there, Igenics and Armin Labs, and I do, and I stand by those words. However, muscle testing is fantastic. It is almost like you get a monthly progress report with your doctor when you go in for each visit, because they can test you where you're at, how you are now, what's working, what's not working, what may have popped up, and you're not spending $1,500, $1,800 to recheck through one of the labs. So that's one of the reasons I love it. It definitely felt like a little bit of voodoo stuff when I started this, but obviously it worked. So I highly recommend, if you are in search of a doctor, being new or being somebody that maybe has been treating for a while and they're not getting some great results, search out an integrative doctor. It's a form of kinesiology, muscle testing. If you need help finding someone in your area, reach out to me. Happy to help you. So I did about 3 more years of treatment up here, and I thought, okay, I think I'm good. This was about February of 2021, so a little over 3 years ago, and I officially reached remission. However, I still had a lot of problems. I had chronic pain. I had some brain fog, some gut issues, some anxiety, a lot of inflammation, little bit of fatigue, not a ton, but like if I was up for, you know, a few days on the go doing things, I would need like a down day in my pajamas. So that kind of fatigue, which was still pretty amazing compared to what I was used to. But the pain was probably my biggest issue and the most debilitating. I was still on several very strong pain meds. I got regular injections in my back, and all of that still just only alleviated my pain by, I don't know, maybe 50%. But truly, I was thankful. I felt like I got my life back. I knew my name. I could drive. I lived on my own. I didn't need a caregiver. I could, you know, travel back home. I knew how to fly by myself. Like, I just kind of just really felt like I was getting my life back. But the pain, the whole thing was, it was definitely an issue. And then I got turned on to a form of light therapy. It's using our own body's energy to totally regenerate our cells. This technology was the final piece, and it truly gave me my life back. I have zero symptoms of anything. I don't treat. I haven't treated. And I feel amazing. I feel amazing. So if you'd like more information on that, you can check out my Facebook page. It's called Lyme and Light Therapy. So basically, in a nutshell, that's my 13-year journey. So there are many reasons why my mission in life converted over to educating and advocating for the Lyme community. One, because I got the bullseye rash that most people don't even get. But I didn't know what it meant. Like, I had not a clue. When somebody said Lyme disease, I thought it was something your dog got. It just was crazy how uneducated I was. The other thing, I didn't know gaslighting was a thing in the medical community. Oh, here's a good one. Who would have thought a blood test was actually going to lie to you or be wrong? Like, just so many things, hindsight, looking back on it, it truly was just mind-blowing. I felt very naive. So we truly just need to be our own advocate navigating through this journey. We just do. So for those reasons that I just mentioned and many, many more, I've just chosen to be a voice in the Lyme community, not just for myself, but for all of you that are too sick to have your own voice, because I was where you are one day. Several years ago, but I was there. I promise you, I know how you're feeling and I can validate your feelings. But just know you are not alone. I promise you, you're not alone. I had the most amazing support system. My family was incredible. My friends were just so generous with their patience and their time, and I feel truly grateful for that. But at the end of the day, I still felt very alone. It's a very isolating disease. And I know going through this Lyme community, helping others for the last 7 years, I know how many of you struggle by yourself, physically by yourself. And I just want you to know you are not alone. There are many amazing people in the Lyme community that are willing to offer their help and their voice and their ear. So reach out. Don't isolate yourself. So over the past 7 years, I've done a handful of things. I ran a nonprofit, also had a 24-hour hotline through that program, started a Facebook mentoring page, so be sure to go check it out. It's called Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. I've met with Congress the last 4 years advocating for all of us through the Center for Lyme Action, an amazing organization, trying to get more awareness and more funding for testing and treatment options and just so much more. And then, of course, I've been doing this weekly podcast for the last 3 years and truly looking forward to continuing to bring you guys some great, inspiring stories. I want you all to hold on to that hope and just know that you too can beat this. I promise you, it is not an easy journey. It's okay to have a bad day. Be whatever you need to be. Cry, scream, yell. But then tomorrow is a new day. Get up and have that hope that you need, because you can beat it and you will beat it. And so I'm just excited. I'm looking forward to having our first guests on and just sharing, like I said, that hope and just share. And we're just going to talk about all the stuff. So thank you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in today, listening to me, a little bit about me, who I am, my journey, my personal journey. And just be sure to tune in every Wednesday to hear another episode that just might save your life. I sure hope you listeners enjoyed that episode. Whether it's hope you needed, a little inspiration today, or just maybe some validation that what you're feeling, what you're going through is real. Maybe you needed tips on how to treat at home, ideas, thoughts, detoxing, whatever it is. I truly just hope it's what you got out of today's episode. That is my only hope, is just to give back to this community in any way possible.